up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 877-44-TRUTH or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Young career, which was cool, and then of course our oldest down in Florida still working on graduating next June. So we had what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4 out of the 6 Nobles down in Charleston visiting my parents this weekend, and I'm on an upswing because now I look across the desk and there's Steve Lewis. It's Money Monday is back. Steve Lewis, LNA Capital Advisors, who we just found out has a York peppermint patty problem.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, this is.
You got the whole stinking bowl sitting right there in front of you.
Absolutely.
How about that?
This is great.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Those are there for you, bro. I mean, leave me one.
I have a question. Is that cow that moos at the beginning?
Yes.
Where did you go to record that? Is that a? You must have really.
The animals were harmed in the production of that radio feature. If that's what you're kidding.
Okay, I just wanted to call PETA if you had to. Yeah, maybe it's a Chick-fil-A cow. Maybe.
Are you here to level the charge that Sean Hannity is a womanizing, foul-mouthed dirtbag?
No.
No, I didn't think so. Okay. But you were with him recently at a broadcaster's thing down in, I don't know where you were.
Atlanta, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's where he really kind of hit it big, right?
He spoke to us for about an hour and gave some terrific talking tips on about radio. And,
yeah.
You know, I haven't been on nearly as, you know.
Well, yeah, neither have I.
Well, but
Sean Hannity, man.
But he was really good. He was
a big monster.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, welcome back. It's nice to see you back in the studio. And was it something I said? Or where have you been? What's up with that?
I had to initiate this meeting.
You did? Did you text me or did I text you?
You never, no. I
you
texted you.
You never text me, Steve.
I said I'm bored.
You don't send me flowers anymore. Yeah, you, Barbara Streisand, and what's Neil Diamond, whatever. Anyway, it's great to see you. Thanks for
coming.
Well,
I'll be Neil Diamond in this analogy.
Yes, thank you very much for that. Both of them politically not aligned with either one of us, I would imagine.
Well, what can you do?
Yeah, what can you do? All right, so we're going to talk about a bunch of different things. We got a call-in guest coming in the second segment because last week there were some big time changes to
two weeks ago Social Security announced some pretty interesting things prior to filing that people should really know about.
So we have plenty of people listening right now that need to understand that. Of course, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 153 now. That's about where it is, and it was down over 200 earlier today, and we'll talk about that and what's it doing, because it's just wild. I'm looking at the year-to-date numbers right now, this comparison chart that you taught me how to do, between the Dow, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ, and it's just amazing to see where it started. And right now, year-to-date, I mean, the Dow back almost even at down a half a point, the NASDAQ up 7.6% based on the beginning of the year, S&P 500 right around up almost 1%. And it's just been a wild year. Do we expect this to continue, or do you think this is going to change in the near future?
The general consensus is that it's going to continue for a lot of several different reasons. Number one, first of all, out of the Dow 30, Dow Jones Industrials, that's the key word, industrials. That's why the Dow Jones is such a key indicator to a lot of things, because without industry, you need no transportation.
Right.
And if there's nothing to bring it to market, there's nobody going to buy it. So you have only three companies with a positive 20-day moving average right now.
And
only three.
How many companies are in the Dow?
Well, there's 30.
Wow. And only three.
Only three
in
right 20 now.
20 days.
Yeah. Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, and DuPont. And that's it.
Wow.
And all of them are down today but two for the whole thing. And, you know, the reason why it dropped, and, you know, I said this, I would love to write the headlines.
As yes. Wouldn't that be fun?
They made this up. Priceline down 9% after week 4 quarter forecast, which is they failed, dropped the Dow. Volatility index rose 15% today. to 16.4, the most in a single session in 6 weeks.
What does that mean, volatility index?
It's the deviations within the index. It's just, you know, it's very volatile.
Yeah.
And though discretionary, the non-cyclical sector, the money that people have to have fun with,
right, yeah,
is up quite a bit for the year. When you peel back the layers of the onion of what that sector comprises of, it's really pretty bad. For example, the household appliances are down 20% for the year, which is
down 20%
for the year.
Wow.
And those are things that people like to enjoy. But the retail composite is up 27 as a whole. When you break down the specialty stores, the large clubhouses, you know, the club warehouses, they're all getting crushed.
Yeah, yeah.
You have Walmart. You know, ever since they decided to raise the wages, because they always seem to be politically the antithesis of what was doing,
right.
People retracted back on that. And so, you know, when people talk about the minimum wage, kind of off the subject, it always creates an inflationary response. And, you know, Starbucks gave their people a lot of raises recently. And I gave my daughter a $10 gift card. I had a, you know, and it didn't even cover what they got.
Right, right. Yeah.
I mean, she got a medium,
$10 at Starbucks,
a medium coffee with a couple pumps of something, and she was with a friend, and he got a medium something,
and
it came to almost $11. Wow, I said, yeah. What? I thought you could get at least 6 cups of something.
You're nuts.
And it wasn't going to
happen.
Not
even water. Not at Starbucks.
Well, then they charge that.
But you'll get it in a red cup.
Yes.
I'm not even going there.
There was an article. I didn't read it.
I put a video up, by the way, on Facebook earlier today because that whole
I saw a headline on that.
Starbucks. Give me a break.
Yeah, I saw a headline on that. I don't know what that was all about. So anyway, some good news out in the S&P 500, though, and some of the statistics, though. But that late headline was that, you know, 9 of the 10 major S&P sectors were down today and led by the discretionary energy stocks. U.S. companies face the prospect of higher borrowing costs if the Federal Reserve raises its interest rates next month. That's everybody's talking about that, right? They've been sixth time they've talked about this.
Yeah, yeah. Is this ever going to happen?
And then the Federal Reserve, she'll get lobbied by the Realtor Association lobby and the auto retail.
All saying, don't do it.
Don't do it, you know, and so forth. And so despite the really good jobs Friday's report, it didn't really do anything. So we have, again, auto retail is up 23%.
Really?
23%. And it's not.
On the year? For the year?
Yes.
Wow.
And it's not where you think it is, you know, but it's, we can come back after the
break. Well, that's a good little teaser for the break there. We'll get back to that. But we're also going to have Hamilton Morales is going to call, and we're going to have him next to talk about these changes, significant changes in the Social Security laws from 2 weeks ago. And if you're in retirement age or nearing retirement age and thinking about that, this is a big issue. What's going on with Social Security? We'll have Hamilton Morales join us when we come back. This is Steve Noble with Steve Lewis here on Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. C2AToday.com is the website. C2AToday.com. Facebook.com/C2A Radio. It is the return of Money Monday with my good friend Steve Lewis, LA Capital Advisors. That website, same as always, LACapitalAdvisors.com. LACapitalAdvisors.com. And Steve-O, what about your phone number? Can people call you too?
Yeah, just dial it up.
What's the number?
919-573-6052.
One more. Keep going.
919-573-6052.
There you go. Okay, we've got Hamilton Morales is joining us on the show. This is a friend of Steve-O's and helps him out in understanding the crazy, complicated world of Social Security. Hamilton is a National Social Security Advisor. Hamilton Morales, welcome to Call to Action.
Oh, thanks a lot. Great to be here.
All right, I'm going to turn it over to Steve Lewis. So now you and I are both putting our destinies in Steve Lewis's hands. How does that make you feel, Hamilton?
Don't answer that, buddy.
I'm not going to answer it.
Hey, listen, Hamilton, Social Security is a big topic across the country. It's seminars, radio, and everything else. And it does affect everybody. It will affect everybody. And a couple weeks ago, there was an announcement made by the SSA regarding some payout options and how things are going to be changed and make good or bad, ugly. Can you shed some light as to how these new rules are going to affect the average couple, maybe the widow or widower, and when do they go into effect?
Great. Yeah, so This is all part of the bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 that was voted on, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, in the wee hours of the night. Nobody was listening. Nobody was watching. They got this done. And then in the Section 831 of this bill, yes, way down in Section 831, they plugged in these changes for Social Security. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go real quick through what these changes are. On the high level, they will not affect survivor benefits, so that's a great thing. Now, we all probably know by now, if you're getting ready to get Social Security or you already are receiving Social Security, that there's not going to be any cost of living adjustment this year. And by the way, this is the third time this has happened in the history of Social Security since COLAs were attached to Social Security. So only three times, and guess what administration that happened in? Okay, I'm not going to tell you that, but it has happened since 2009 and 2010, and then, of course, in 2016. So here are the changes. First and foremost, if you are under the age of 62 as of January 1st, 2016, you are no longer eligible to file what's called a restricted application for spousal-only benefits. That means that you cannot get half of your spouse's benefit. Now, the only exception to this rule is if you are a non-working spouse. That means you have not hit your 40 credits, and maybe you are a stay-at-home mom or something like that, and you don't have the credits to get your own Social Security. You will be able to get half of your spouse's Social Security, but that is the only exception. If you are 62 years of age or older, as of January 1st, you will still be eligible to file the restricted application for spousal-only benefits. So that's really nice. So once you hit full retirement age, assuming you haven't done anything prior to that, you'll be able to file restricted. So that's really nice.
Hey, Hamilton, could you explain what full retirement age? What's the significance of
full retirement age? Is, well, right now, most people, it's going to be 66. It depends on when you were born. So if you were born between 1943 and 1954, your full retirement age is 66. For every year after 1954, it goes up by 2 months. So 66 and 2 months, 66 and 4 months, all the way up until you get to age 67. And then for everybody that was born 1960 and beyond, your full retirement age is 67.
So if you can wait till full retirement age, that could be a significant income increase, couldn't it?
Well, if you could wait till age 70, it'd be even higher,
mm-hmm.
because you get the 8% delayed retirement credits for that four-year period of time. So mm-hmm. it'll jump up 132%. So yeah, it's a pretty big deal. And that's one of the things that people were using as a strategy to maximize their benefit. That's being taken away for people that will be under the age of 62 as of January 1st.
Okay.
Now, one of the confusing parts of this law change for Social Security is this thing called file and suspend. And basically, the reason why you would file and suspend is to activate your account so your spouse could take spousal benefits. But by suspending your benefits, it allowed you to get the 8% delayed retirement credit.
Mm.
So it was a nice deal where you could activate but then suspend to get the delayed retirement credit. Well, what they're saying now is that if you don't file and suspend within the next 6 months, that will not be a viable option moving forward. So in other words, after this next 6 months is over, in order for your spouse to be able to get any kind of spousal benefit, you will have to file and be receiving your benefits, which will then allow your spouse to file for spousal benefits. So it really puts a kink, if you will, in what we were able to do from a strategic standpoint in income planning, using Social Security, and being able to maximize your Social Security. So there's obviously going to have to be a different approach as it comes to dealing with Social Security. There's still things we can do if you're 62 years or older as of January 1st. But it will change a little bit how we approach that. If you're under the age of 62 as of January 1st, it really changes the landscape and what we're able to do. In fact, the question is only going to really be, do I file at 62, full retirement age or age 70, and that's going to be dependent on what your income plan looks like and how you've set yourself up for retirement.
So really, income planning always was an issue because of the file and suspend option, and now it's kind of mandated that they better look at it because the file and suspend is going to be going away.
Steve, you hit the nail on the head on that. You know, people would go and say, hey, tell me when to file. And unfortunately, there are some advisors out there that would tell them when to file without giving any look at an income plan. You know, and I would tell people, look, just because I can show you how to maximize your benefit doesn't mean you can take advantage of it or that you should take advantage of it. There's no way for me to tell outside of an income plan. So if you don't have a written income plan and know how that income is going to look in comparison to your expenses and inflation and those types of things, how in the world can you make a decision on when to take your Social Security benefits?
Oh,
not accurately,
correct.
Anyway.
Yep.
Can't do it.
Hamilton, I was going to ask this question right quick. What do you think the vast majority of people that need to be thinking about this Social Security situation are even aware of these changes?
No, not unless they've seen articles out there. Mainstream media has not touched it. Like I said, they snuck this thing in Section 831 of the budget bill, which was snuck in the wee hours of the night and then signed last Tuesday by the president. So most people don't know about it, and the information they are getting are from articles, and a lot of those articles are very vague on the details, which leaves a lot of assuming.
Hey, Hamilton, can you hang on through the next break a little bit?
Yeah, I sure can.
Okay. Great.
Right, we'll put him on hold, and when we come back, some more with Hamilton Morales, National Social Security Advisor, on this tough issue that most people don't even know about. Why is that? Well, ask the U.S. government. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, Money Monday with my good friend Steve Lewis, LA Capital Advisors. That's lacapitaladvisors.com, or his email address, slewis@lacapitaladvisors.com. We're also joined today by Hamilton Morales. He's a National Social Security Advisor, works with Steve occasionally on these issues, which are very difficult. We're talking about some of the significant changes that were made recently in the middle of the night. What a shock up in D.C. when they were passing the recent bill and the budget issue. That have a direct impact on Social Security. And Steve Lewis, I know you had another question for Hamilton. So
yeah, Hamilton, so people 60 and over get their Social Security statements mailed to them annually still, correct?
Yeah, that just started this year.
Okay.
So if you are 60 years or older on your birthday, you'll start getting your Social Security statement. If you're under the age of 60, they mail them out to you every 5 years. But you don't have to wait. You know, you can go to ssa.gov and click on My Social Security and register, and you can go on there and get it anytime you want.
Now, tell me about the significance of income planning and why it's important, and with respect to Social Security and planning and looking at your benefits at age 66 or 67 and so forth.
Right. Well, you know, when you look at income planning, you got to look at everything. So you got to look at your expenses. You've got to look at the income, or I should say your guaranteed income that you've got coming in, which Social Security is part of that. If you have a pension, that would be considered a guaranteed income that you have coming in. You've got to look at inflation. That's a big piece of it too as well. And you're always looking at that based off of the status quo, assuming nobody dies and nobody gets sick. So you've also got to plan for that stuff too as well. If somebody passes away early, if somebody gets sick, goes into a nursing home, those types of things. So all that has to do with income planning. But a lot of people don't understand is this one thing. You know, what is the one thing we love most about Social Security and pensions? What's the one thing we love the absolute most about those two things?
Well, it keeps coming in.
Yeah. Every month, I know it's going to be in my bank account. And how long do those things last?
Well, technically, they last until your life expectancy, but they keep going until you don't.
Until you die. You're going to continue to get those payments until you die. So in your income planning, doesn't it make sense for what I consider your necessary money? That means the money that you've got to have to pay bills and to live on month in and month out. Doesn't it make sense that all of your necessary money is set up that way? I'm not talking about your fun money. I'm not talking about your legacy money. I'm talking about money you have to have every month to live on. Why wouldn't you want it set up that way? Well, how do you do that? Well, you got to look at the income plan. First and foremost, you got to put one of those together so you know how much you're going to need, not only today and necessary income, but in the future, because we have this ugly thing called inflation that we have to deal with. And so we have to look at that. And then what if somebody passes away? You know, if you've got a husband and wife and one of them passes away, you might be down a pension. You're definitely going to be down one of the Social Securities.
Well, I have a lot of people I run into who they're receiving pensions, and they have no idea how they filed that pension. Did they do joint survivorship 100%, 75%, 50%? And had a couple in my office 2 weeks ago, and he did 100%, no survivorship. And he didn't know that he did that. So if he passes away, she gets nothing.
She gets nothing. And
right. What
plan have they put into place?
And they never did.
For when that could happen.
Yeah, they didn't. They don't expect it.
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's all really scary information. And Steve mentioned off the air, Hamilton, that nobody under 60 that he deals with even asks these questions about Social Security. But this is something that a lot of people assume is going to be there. Hopefully it still will if the nation remains solvent. But we have to understand how it's going to work and how it's not going to work in the end. And that's
right. Why
it's so important for people to get in contact with somebody that knows what they're talking about, in this case, obviously, with Steve and with you, Hamilton, and start to look at what's going to happen in the future. Otherwise, you're going to be shocked, and then somebody's going to pay the price. It won't be you when you die. It'll be your spouse.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
Good point.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty scary things. Hamilton Morales, National Social Security Advisor. We're going to give out Steve's website and email address again, but if people have any questions about Social Security, he's going to forward them on to you. Is that all right?
That sounds great. I look forward to answering those questions.
Awesome. Great. Hamilton, thanks so much for your time today. We'll have you back on again.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, you guys have a great day.
Thanks. We'll talk to you later. And that just goes to show, when you say most people don't even think about it, and then these significant changes that came out 2 weeks ago when they passed the quote-unquote budget deal, I mean, we can't be caught flat-footed, and unfortunately, a lot of us are. We're just not thinking about
it.
It's 20
years
out in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm only 49, blah, blah, blah. And but these things can happen. And for us as Christians, we know perfectly well from Scripture, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And we have to be wise and we have to plan. And that's why it's so important for people to find out how Social Security operates and what you do with it and not assume anything. Because like I said a minute ago, it's your spouse that's going to pay the price.
Yep. I recently had a client who he was in my office in Charlotte on a Thursday, and he keeled over and passed on the following week,
yeah,
driving up to Chattanooga.
Yep, your life is like a mist, it says in the book of James, here today, gone tomorrow. Again, if you have any questions about Social Security at all, it's no strings attached. This is just two Christian brothers that want to help you and help build the kingdom. And so, again, you can get to lacapitaladvisors.com, or Steve, you just email him at slewis@lacapitaladvisors.com. Let's dive back into what the markets are doing. And one of the things that we always talk about, Steve-O, is market segments. I never really thought about this until you started helping the Noble family. But the segment, we think about the economy in general, but it's broken down into these little subsectors, different types of markets within the broader market. How are they doing? Because it's so important to look at it that way instead of just the Dow or just the NASDAQ. There's different industries represented there.
Yeah, we talked about earlier about the industrial side of the Dow Jones. And just to give you some more numbers on it, the metals and mining sector is down 54%. Fertilizers and chemicals are down 22% right now as of Friday.
This is year to date?
Year to date. Trucking is down 16%. Railroads are down 27%. And then heavy trucks are down 23%, which explains Caterpillar's fall from grace.
Yeah.
So it all boils down to a lot of things. And as we go into this discretionary season of holiday purchasing and everything else, just reading in the Investor's Business Daily today, they called it the St. Louis squeeze play. Obamacare plans are dropping PPOs, which are preferred provider organizations, and going to the HMOs, health managed organizations. Why? Because they're cheaper. However, they're highly restricted. They're not out there as plentiful as the PPOs are, and they're a lot smaller networks. So they give this analogy of a 24-year-old male making $24,000 a year, whopping $24,000 a year.
50% of the people in America, adults, make $30,000 or less.
Okay, well, then this is almost in that ballpark. So if he chooses, this male decides to not buy any insurance, he'll be his fine goes up to $695.
That's big money for a guy.
And it's a tax.
Grand,
it's a tax that Obama tax. Said wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, sorry, John Roberts.
So point two, a cheapest bronze plan, he'll have a $6,850 deductible with a premium of $960 a year. The cheapest silver plan has a deductible of $2,100 with an annual premium of $1,392 a year. And the cheapest catastrophic plan, which is supposed to be least expensive, with nearly a $7,000 deductible, well, he'll be charged $2,496.
He
can't afford that. So you look at all of these things. We were talking about income planning earlier. How can a 24-year-old male start now?
Yeah.
Especially if they're self-employed.
Yeah.
Then you add the FICA taxes of, you know, of 14-15%. They have so much against them right now.
11 or 12 of the state Obama exchanges are gone under. Poof. See ya.
Yep.
They're just toast.
They can't handle it.
They just
can't handle it. So you know, what we have right now, really, Steve, is just a big mess leading up to a lot of things.
Well, and are there some market sectors that are actually okay? I mean, the ones you were talking about were just train wrecks.
Well, restaurants are doing very well. Entertainment's doing very well. And what does that mean?
Yeah, we're escaping.
People want to escape.
Right,
and
right.
I like to go out once a week with my wife. You go to a little coffee bistro near called Sip and just have a nice latte and a little... You know, and just sit there, you know, and it's really neat. It's a great time just to sit there and watch.
Especially when you have 11 kids at home.
You had to throw that in there, didn't you?
Well, but it's important. But yeah, I mean, we want to go out. We want to get away from reality. And when the market's not doing well, we see all these types of things. We want to escape.
But you know what, Steve? There still is bull markets to be found.
Yeah, they're out there.
And that's the issue out there. And the statistic here is, briefly, Morgan Stanley saw a disappointing quarter three loss. The revenue fell almost 29% as skittish investors stayed away from the market. Revenue from their wealth division, I'm reading from the Investor's Business Daily, or Investment News, excuse me. Investment banking, trading, and commissions and fees this year was $652 million, quarter ending in September. In the same period a year earlier, that revenue totaled $912
million. Wow. A big drop.
So it goes back to transaction-based managing, and that's where they make their money. They don't get their money managing and working with the markets, going into a heavy healthcare sector if it's bullish, or going into discretionary if it's bullish. It's just a matter of throwing it out there. And our philosophy has always been, we don't diversify to hedge. It's, you know, because you always have a portion not working. It's like saying, Steve, you know, you have an 8-cylinder car. I want to save gas, so I'm going to take 2 boots off of 2 spark plugs.
Yeah, and the overall engine is affected by that.
Well, it affects the overall portfolio.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
you know.
Of course, they're making money just by moving stuff around.
That's how they get paid,
and that's why for you as a fiduciary, when you actually have an obligation to work in the best interest of the client,
and we don't charge on transactions anyway. So.
Yeah, and that's not how you make your money. You make your money by doing good for the customer. What a shock! What an old-fashioned notion. This is Steve Noble with Steve Lewis from LNA Capital Advisors. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
You like that one?
Oh, yeah.
Because you're a child of the 80s.
Yeah.
So a little, all right, name the band. Think Wizard of Oz. Think Dorothy.
Come on. Oh, Kansas,
No, but Kansas. Think Dorothy. Think dog.
Ruff, ruff. What?
What was her dog's name?
Oh, Toto.
Toto!
Oh,
Thank you. There you go.
That is Toto.
It took a little work. But
well, I've got Journey playing on Pandora in my office, and people down the hallway say, oh, play that.
Journey. And now, if my daughter happens to be listening, actually, if any of the Nobles are listening, right now they're thinking of Steve Perry, of course, the lead singer of Journey. And we were at a church down in Florida, which shall remain unnamed. And we were down there, and the pastor knew I was there. This is a friend's church. And he had my book. So then he said, well, actually, you know, this is a great book, The Making of a Christian Wacko, and the author's here today. Steve Perry, where are you?
Oh, no.
Yeah, Steve Perry. So I'm sitting there going, what do I do? in my flesh, and partly in my spirit, I wanted to stand up and go, brother, Steve Perry is the lead singer of Journey. I'm Steve Noble. In my flesh, I wanted to do that. But in my spirit, I'm like, we all make mistakes, so I'm just going to, you know, so I kind of looked around. I kind of raised my hand halfway up. I'm like, yeah, I'm here, but I'm not him, but I'm here. So ever since then,
I'm the lead anchor for C2A.
Yes, there
today.
You go. Ever since then, Amelia refers to me as Steve Perry.
Yep.
instead of Steve Noble. So anyway, just a little aside there. So we were talking about market sectors because what ones are actually doing well, because we look at I'm looking at the year to date stock market right here. It started off, you know, the beginning of the year, up and down, up and down. Totally crashed, which was on August 25th. A monster drop there over from August 18th to August 25th, that 1 week. And now it's lurched its way back up to almost even for the NASDAQ and the S&P. Or the NASDAQ's still up, but barely up on the year. But where's the bright spots? That's my question.
Well, there aren't a whole lot, but still, you can find the bull markets in there someplace. Right now, we're carrying roughly 50, 60% equity positions right now, so we're in cash about 40, 45%
across
the board.
Most people freak out when you say that 40% of your money's in cash.
No,
it's kind of like
no. I mean,
storms come and they go, and so when you have a storm going on, and it's the seas are not really worthy, they're not really good for the boat, then you put the boat in a harbor. Is that what you're doing with cash? You kind of don't get all your money in there. There's some things doing well, some things aren't. Get some of it out of in the cash.
Well, right now there really aren't enough players to field the team.
Yeah,
and you just don't want three or four. And so when we looked at the sectors, we talked about them, you know, all the moving averages are down. I mean, we said, oh, man, what happened last month was great. Well, it was, but look what happened the month before.
Right.
So you had these linear losses, linear reductions, and then you need to come back and make some of that back up. And so what positions we have on the stock side are predominantly mid-cap, some small-cap, and a few ETF, exchange-traded fund exposures in there. And so, we are heavy on the retail composite. We are heavy in the discretionary sector right now. Up until today in some of the news, we were considering going into a leverage position on those and get double the earnings on those things. But with the forecast, look as it is, like last year, I mean, the hiring numbers were up because they always hire this time of year.
Yeah.
They always do. And you hear, well, Visa's now a buy. You know, well, Visa gets paid when you swipe the card, you know. Some things are pretty obviously to short, what they call shorting a stock. And it's going to give a short exposure and you're going to get out when it hits a high in your mind. It's not a call or a put necessarily. And then you back off on it. But it's all about active managing. And that's what bothers me about this last segment we talked about, transaction-based consulting.
Whole, right.
And we see a lot of it. We saw an account a couple weeks ago. A gentleman came in with five mutual funds that were just flipped from what he had before, and they correlated at nearly 100%. But the guy got paid again. There was nothing wrong with that needed to be done.
Yeah, so he didn't really need to change anything. But no. In order to make money, they needed transactions.
Well, it's something I've always said before. If you've got a mutual fund portfolio, 5, 6, 7, 8 positions, a couple stocks in there, and you're paying a management fee, you're getting ripped off.
Because they're not really managing
anything. All they're doing is determining the weight.
Yeah, yeah.
I can do that in 3 minutes and call it a day.
Right, right.
But what it really boils down to is looking at the exposure, tracking the sectors closely, finding what's undergirding that sector. So if we have the retail composite at 27, what's pushing that above 27? And that's where the investigation and research has to go, we think. That's how we do it. You know, at 27 is the mean, right? So we want to be above the mean. And so, you know, listen, Steve, you can't – would you agree – I don't know if you watch football or not, but if you go back to the 1973 Miami Dolphins that won the Super Bowl against the Redskins and you place them into today's game, you'd see some tremendous differences in offensive schemes, defensive
Absolutely.
Schemes, big differences.
Yeah.
And they could not – I'd be surprised if they could beat the Alabama Crimson Tide today.
Yeah.
Because of what, you know, the bigger,
Things
faster players.
Yeah.
Well, same thing. The stock market isn't the same.
So the whole buy 'em and hold 'em thing.
Yeah, I mean, you can't.
Dave Ramsey, get the right mutual fund. It'll get 12% because he doesn't include the information to give a clear picture.
The last 15 years rolling average is barely 4%. And where are you going to ride on these curves of volatility? Hamilton kind of talked about it a little bit on the Social Security side. It could really harm you. And it's very dangerous to do that. And so you always have to keep moving around. Just as, you know, St. Louis Rams, the greatest show on turf, you know, many years ago, you know, they had over 2,000 plays in their playbook.
Wow.
And people couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, crazy.
And so that's how you have to manage it, because it's a numbers game. To see the Dow Jones where it is really telling. And so you have to go outside of that norm and do something different.
So what's the number one question people should ask the person that is quote unquote managing their portfolio today?
Number one, find out what are you getting paid?
How are you making money?
Yes.
Off of me.
Yeah. What are you getting paid? How much are you getting? That includes even mutual fund fees, called 12b-1 fees, all these things.
Because there's all kinds of incentives out there for people managing money.
Yes.
If you get them into this, you get them into that, they get some kind of a bonus or whatever.
You've got to find out. Whatever. It's a step, you know, it's kind of hard for people to do, but get it in writing. Because it's amazing what these people are getting paid under the table, because the conflicts of interest are huge in the industry. And Elizabeth Warren, I have to say, a Democrat out of Massachusetts, on the Department of Labor ruling on the fiduciary standard, I agree with her. And it's unfortunate the Republicans are pushing back on it.
Yeah.
And she came out with a memo last week, and she met with a lot of insurers. And she said it was amazing. And I've talked about these things, the trips to Rome and all of these things, the incentives.
Yeah.
And I have on my advisory agreement, I don't have these agreements. I don't have any these conflicts of interest. And advisors have been taking money from the number one and number three wirehouse in the country or in the world, really. And they weren't disclosing it to the clients, getting 20 basis points. Now, you're imagining $100 million, $200 million?
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money they are not disclosing, and that just sent her through the ceiling.
So are there like two different brackets of money managers here, if I can use that term generally? Because you act as a fiduciary, right, which is a big deal, that you have a legal obligation to act in the best interest of your client, not in the best interest of your pocketbook, right? Is that correct?
Right. When we do a transaction, we don't get paid on the transaction. We don't charge on the transaction. So if I choose to take you out, you and Gina out of, let's say, a biotech ETF, it's because I think you should get out of the biotech ETF. And if I choose to go into a retail composite sector for some reason, maybe it's a stock or, you know, Darwin Group,
whatever
it is, it's my intention to, I think that's where you should go.
I need to benefit Steve and Gina.
Correct.
Or whoever the client is.
Right. And so problem is that most people across the table from people sit, they're not doing anything. You know, a solicitor relationship, which is legal. The solicitor is getting paid as if they're doing it, and they're not doing anything. So you really have to look at, and you might be asking, what's too high? I would think.
Fees and stuff?
Fees. And my opinion, anything over 1.5% is too high, period. And everything should come down from there. But I'm seeing now a lot of things over 2%.
So is there something 2.4. In the title of a particular person managing money? They're an advisor. They're an investment advisor. Is there something in that language that tells us?
No, no. In fact, the new disclosures state that just because you carry a license doesn't mean you're educated to do anything.
Wow.
Those are the new disclosures that we have to put on everything. So you need to find out really what role are you, Mr. Advisor? They can be investment advisor, fiduciary, but they're representing a soliciting firm. And that soliciting firm does all the managing, pulls all the triggers, and this person just getting paid almost like a finder's fee,
like a finder's
1% a year, and he's not doing anything. And those, you have to really, really nail that down. Solicitors are fine, you know, if sometimes they're appropriate for some folks, but in most cases, I don't find them appropriate. And on the broker side, well, they're transacting to get paid. So they're not managing anything at all. So I think you have to just really, really go in there and, you know, it's all about the end of the day results in the relationship. If your relationship is good, regardless of how they're getting paid, and you're happy with the results, and stick with them.
As long as they're not ripping you off.
Well.
So what you shouldn't, if they're charging you 3%, I guess if you're making 10% a year, can you say, who cares?
Well, you could be charged 1.5% you're paying the consultant, but the mutual fund's charging you 2%.
Right. So you got to keep adding all that stuff.
You have to add them all in. And how are they getting anything off of that mutual fund
expense? I think the thing that people need to do, which is what Gina and I experienced the first time we sat down with you, and friends, this is what I want to encourage you to do here at the end of the show, is just do what we did. Just go sit down, get everything on the table, go, okay, how does this work? Because I'm not a sophisticated investor, nor is my wife. But Steve is. So we sit down and go, okay, well, what's the work here? And he's looking at how we're, you know, what's being paid here, what's being paid there, what are the fund, what are the fees for a broker, what are the fees for the mutual fund company? And we're like, oh, okay. But it takes, you can't do that in a radio show. You have to do that in a conversation, which is why I'm strongly encouraging you, just get to Steve's website, lacapitaladvisors.com, and just have the conversation. There's no obligation. He's not trying to hook you on anything. He's just trying to educate you. Because he cares, and that's why we do this show together once a month on Money Monday, is talking about things that we all need to care about. And Jesus spoke a lot about money and how we handle finances, because they're not ours. Let's remember that. So LACapitalAdvisors.com, LACapitalAdvisors.com, or just email them, slewis@LACapitalAdvisors.com. Steve-O, great to have you as
Thank
always.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, friends, We'll be back tomorrow. An incredible story about a young woman and the mission work she's doing. That's very inspiring. And then we're working on getting Ted Cruz on sometime later this week after the debate tomorrow night. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.